good. You do not know how blessed we are. No. This kind of singing, a lot of churches pay a lot of money and can't match this. I promised Brother Sonny the other night that I wouldn't sing. If you notice, the voice quality is a whole lot like that Myers woman. It's not what it used to be. I thank Lord we still can do a little bit. We're taught. Oh, by the way, I will say this. Brother Jay asked me to preach a sermon as great as the birds. And some of you remember that. I promised to preach what it takes to build a fire in the church. The only trouble of it is God wasn't in that. So about Wednesday or Thursday, forget that and go in another direction. You know what I'm talking about already, don't you? You're beginning to learn. In today's world, we're taught that throughout life, there are always exceptions. There's nothing ever really for sure right or wrong, because there's always an exception to it. With God, there's some things just no exceptions to. It is that way. And there's no other way around it. I would invite your attention this morning to Luke, the 13th chapter. And by the way, you're not going to be able to keep up with all these scriptures. I'll quote them or read them out of my notes. Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 5. The title of the message is, Except You Repent. Verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower and Siloam fell and slew them? Think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. O Lord God, would you come down, rend the heavens and come down, and give me fire today that I might speak to this people. Remove me and exalt Jesus Christ, that these people might see what this means. In Jesus' name, amen. These people had some definite ideas, didn't they? You know, those people, they're the worst sinners in the world. Look what happened to them. Look at the indignation that they suffered when Pilate took their blood and mingled with our sacrifices. Oh, how awful that was. I have heard so many people in my life talk about all the sinners and hypocrites and churches and say that, don't really mean much. I don't believe all that stuff. That's not important. All that church stuff, I've heard that all my life. I don't really believe that stuff. I'll tell you something. Except you repent, you're going to go to the same place those people are going. Folks, I'll tell you what, there's no good part of hell. There is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and screaming in agony and pain. Listen, we don't hear this much anymore. Hell is a terrible place. We don't hear that God is so far above all that we can know. He is so much. Why in the world would God even be mindful of us here on this little dinky teeny planet in the universe that is nothing? But God saw fit to love us and send His Son, because He has set a standard. Society cannot exist without a standard. Do away with the law. Do away with the police. Let everybody do what they want in their own eyes. Society cannot exist that way. You have to have a set of rules and laws to go by. We would be animals. Like the animals. Vicious. Only wanting what we want. And regardless who gets in the way, I'm going to take it. Are we getting close to that? Did you all see pictures on the television whenever they had that thing up there in the East Coast where they didn't have any gasoline and all the computers went dead and everything, and people were filling even plastic bags with gasoline? I want to get mine. Don't care about you. Get out of my way. Give me mine. Are we getting close to the biggest animal wins? And is the boss? I'll tell you what, folks. I have seen it. That people have decided that they are going to do what they want and God can't change it. I'm going to tell you something. A God that needs your permission to do something is not a God. That's something you have made up in your own mind and in your own society. A real God will do what He wants to, whether you like it or not. And none can stay His hand. He set the standards. And we have all come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, not even you. If you're here today and you have not repented and turned from your sins, you are a terrible abomination to God. Oh, I'm not that bad. Yes, you are. Because that's what God says. And what God says is right, whether you like it or not. There's no good part of hell. Hell has begun to be a slang word in our vocabulary. Just use it. Nobody pays any attention to it. So hell is no big deal anymore. We got used to hearing about it. But nobody thinks of it as a place of punishment, a place of agony, a place of suffering. But that's exactly what it is. It would be a good idea for you not to go to hell. I've told several that whenever I lay there in the hospital on the ventilator for the second time, and the doctors decided that I would not make it this last fall, called the family in to say their last goodbyes to Brother Willie. I was on a mountaintop. I didn't know anything about any tubes or any of that kind of silliness. I was sitting on a mountaintop. And there were people around me, and I was trying to communicate with them and just couldn't reach them. But I could look out and see a beautiful forest. It's as far as you could see. So peaceful. With rivers and brooks babbling. And birds singing. And these people, they'd be, a few here would go down in that forest. And a few here would go down in that forest. And this person came to me and said, come on, you're going a different way. And I went over on that side of the mountain down to a road that led away. I believe with all my heart I was looking into glory. And those people were going to rest and joy. And I came back to society in this world. Because I went down this side of the mountain. I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen glory. You don't want to go to hell. You want to sit beside the river early in the morning and feel the mist on your face, see the fish jump, and hear the birds sing. If you've never been there, you've missed the best thing that this world has to offer. That's what I always liked about a boat. You sit on the lake. I can't ride in a boat anymore. Last time I tried, I turned the boat over, almost pulled the windshield off of that guy's bass boat. He said, "You're done. Get out of here. You're not getting back in my boat." "83 years old and beginning to get feeble. Lord's blessed me." They told me when I had polio as a young man that when I began to be 35, I'd be in a wheelchair. I'm 83. And I at least am making an effort to walk. Boy, it's great to see Brother Joe walking down here taking that offering again. Hallelujah. Regardless of whether you're a great sinner or a small sinner or a good guy or a good person or a wonderful friend, without repentance, ye shall also likewise perish in the pits of hell. I have seen people come forward laughing and chewing chewing gum and just waving it. I don't like that. I'll tell you why. Listen to what God says about repentance. Now the dictionary, let me tell you what the dictionary says. The dictionary says that the act of repentance is when a person feels sorry for their actions or is dissatisfied with their actions and seeks to do better. Definition number two. They feel sorry for a wrong action and determined to do what's right. Let me read you some of the things the Bible says about repentance. In Joel, the second chapter, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, "Therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. Turn to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, and slow to anger, and great kindness, and repent of Him of evil." I preached a sermon something like this in Florida at a conference, and I had some preachers come up to me and say, "We don't believe in that old weeping and mourning stuff." I tell you what, they don't know how big and how good God is. And they don't know how terrible and awful and ridiculous they are. You got to get a picture of yourself that's real. And you got to get a picture of God that's real. And it's got to tear you all to pieces. 10 or 11 years old, I was at a Baptist school down in Pineville, Kentucky. Surrounded by 1,500 boys. And God opened my eyes and showed me that I was a sinner and I was going to hell. And I wept right there in front of all of those other guys. And I broke down. And I didn't care who saw me. And I didn't want to leave that house. I wasn't leaving that house until I got it settled with God. And you get a right picture of yourself and a right picture of God, you can't go through those doors. Go down that highway toward Lexington. You could wind up in hell halfway to Lexington. Nothing more dangerous than that highway out there. Brother Tarvis had a head-on wreck. Hallelujah. He's okay. Had the great privilege of baptizing Brother Travis. He's special to me. And he's special to you guys. But he's special to every one of you. But he's special to God. Whew. That's where it's at, folks. Isaiah says in 22:12, "And in that day did the Lord of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding and with sackcloth." James 4, verses 8-10, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." Humble yourselves in the sight of a mighty, glorious God in charge of the whole universe. You talk about a beautiful, beautiful place. You talk about being in the presence of God. Wow. I can't imagine it. And you can't either. The greatest king, the most beautiful of people, the finest of clothing and food, cannot compare to being in the presence of a mighty God. Greater than anything you have ever seen. Wow! Notice that all these scriptures speak of realizing and weeping that you have offended God. Remember the story? And the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you ever been there? Oh, I hope you have. You have been to the feet of the throne of God in glory, asking for mercy. If you ever have been there, then you know what real repentance is. And except you repent God's way, you shall all likewise perish. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Every one of us has a seed in the book of life. And in Revelation, I think it's the 20th chapter, where it says the book of life is brought forth. If your name's not in that book, they're going to cast you into hell. And you'll stand there and say, oh, I tried. I didn't have a chance. And God will call Brother Willie to stand up and say, remember the day I told you to repent. Because I'll be God's witness against you in the day of judgment. Because I told you today to repent, or you'll all likewise perish. You don't hear preaching like this anymore. And brother, we need preaching like this in today's world. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. They will. Those mighty, glorious people are going to bow before God. I can't remember his name, but the guy that was in the wheelchair that was so brilliant, that was never going to die because science was so great that it was going to be able to keep him alive. Listen, he died. And you know where he's at now? He's burning in hell. You say, Brother Willie, you shouldn't judge a man. No, that's Jesus' business. That's not mine. I don't know who's saved and who's not. But I know this. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And there is no exceptions to that rule. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Did you repent? Did you ever come to a place where I can't take another step because I might take a step into hell? We're supposed to warn people. Let me ask you something. Down here at Place Ferry, they're working on the bridge. What if the bridge fell right flat down in the Kentucky River and you were standing up there on the hill? Would you say to those people going by, have a nice day? Or would you be yelling, the bridge is out, stop, stop, stop. The bridge is out. You're going into destruction. We're supposed to warn people today, except you repent, you shall also likewise perish. Why? Because there is no bridge to get you out of hell. Doesn't matter whether you agree with what I said or not. It matters whether you agree with what God says. If you're going to enter into heaven, or if you're going to go into hell, forever and ever, depends on whether you repent and turn to God and fall down before Him and beg Him to forgive you of your sin. If you haven't done that in your heart and mind, today you're in danger of going into hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. And I wish that I could get you to surrender. If you weren't here Wednesday night, please, please get a tape of Brother Joe preaching Wednesday night on surrender. You better surrender to God. And you don't do it just once. I surrender to God, and then I ease off, and I have to surrender to God. And now, oh my goodness, now I have to surrender to God again. If you think you're too big to surrender to God, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. Get Brother Joe's tape. Get Brother Joe's tape. If you're here today and you've never repented before God, I beg you to examine yourself and examine your heart and just be truthful with it. Honest. Now, let me just be honest with you. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Let us stand. O Lord our God, we stand before you unworthy sinners. Lord, please be merciful to us. Oh God, please don't give us what we deserve. Give us mercy. Please, Lord, accept us in the blood of Jesus. Whatever it takes today to break the stony heart, would you touch that heart today with your mercy? For we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen.
Sing hymn 325.